Blog Talk Radio.
The Ohio State University College of Food, Agriculture, and Environmental Science is a driving force throughout rural Ohio, and in particular, its South Centers located in Piketon, Ohio. The South Centers provides research and educational formats in a number of areas, including horticulture, fruits and vegetables, soil and bioengineering, aquaculture, and business development services. Dr. Tom Worley, Director of South Centers, hosts the monthly South Centers Chat. Here's Tom.
Well, good afternoon. Once again, it's a pleasure to be here for the South Centers Chat, and we're appreciative of University of Rio Grande and the partnership we have to conduct these sessions here in their studio on the campus at Rio Grande. And it's been a great partnership, and we want to acknowledge that here at the beginning today. And it's excellent today that I have one of our staff members from over at South Centers that focuses on extension programs in the family and consumer science area, Dr. Dan Rimley, here today to share a little bit about his program activities and what OSU Extension and our College of Food, Ag, and Environmental Science are doing in the food area as it relates to health and well-being. I think we're going to get into a lot of that as we move along here in the next few minutes. But Dan, welcome.
Thank you.
And Dan, I think it'd be great for the audience just to hear a little bit about your background.
Okay.
With Ohio State and your academic training and that sort of thing.
Well, thanks, Tom. I grew up in that state of North Carolina. I won't mention it. It's not Montana, though. Did my undergraduate at Miami of Ohio. Zoology, and to mention that because it's when I was diagnosed at 20 with type 1 diabetes. That's kind of propelled me into public health and nutrition, and so I pursued a master's in public health at Alabama Birmingham and worked for a summer at the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta. And following that stint, I went up to University of Kentucky where I pursued my doctorate in nutritional sciences. And, been an extension for since 1999 now. Started out at University of Missouri and was a nutrition specialist in a very rural area in northeast Missouri. Like the county that I worked in, where I was headquartered, had about 5,000 people. So rural Missouri is much more rural than rural Ohio. But we do have some rural areas in the state. It's a little bit more urban than some rural states west of Mississippi. But So I took a position in, about 10 years ago. It was from 2002, I guess that was the fact. Started at the Ohio State University Extension in Butler County again, and lived there for 10 years. And Butler County is much more urbanized than Piketon, but just one. Right. So it's county north of Cincinnati, county south of Dayton. So a growing county, but it did have rural, had urban, suburban. And so 2012, I came to South Centers and started a faculty position, field specialist food nutrition wellness. And no longer county focused, I work statewide. So.
And that's focus, I work specialist in very high need areas across the state. Background, right. And nutrition, mm-hmm. And that's overall health and that's what you're trying to bring together and stress. So let me just talk just a minute, if I could, about how Dan is complementing some of the other programs
to centers. Especially if we stop and think about the horticultural program that we have that focuses on specialty crops, and then even more narrowly than that on small fruits and vegetables. And these are very important and get more priority all the time in terms of what constitutes a healthy diet. And I think Dan can address just how that shapes out when maybe he talks about what goes on our plate and what a portion of that might be fresh fruits. Well, it doesn't even have to be fresh, I don't think. Help us address that maybe, Dan, a little bit. Does it need to be fresh fruits and vegetables, and what proportion of the plate, you know?
Well, probably nutritionally speaking, I think most dietitians and nutrition experts say get your fruits and vegetables anywhere you can.
Okay.
That doesn't mean getting your blueberries and blueberry pie all the time.
Okay.
But what it does mean is that canned and frozen are perfectly acceptable ways of getting your fruits and vegetables. The thing to be a little bit wary of is the amount of sodium, perhaps, in your canned products. And then, of course, your fruits, you know, are the types of like a syrup,
right?
You know, so, but you do have to read your labels. But even said, you know, there's lots of ways to get your fruits and vegetables. I think if you're like me, I do prefer fresh most of the time. I do like a smoothie every now and then.
There you go.
There's some healthy smoothies recipes out there. In fact, my daughter's in 4-H. She's taking a 4-H nutrition project and learning how to make different smoothies.
Oh, wow.
Doing sports nutrition activities. So learning a lot of recipes and learning quite a bit about nutrition. But certainly there are lots of ways to get your fruits and vegetables.
In terms of that typical dinner plate,
yeah.
We're looking for a...
So maybe, I don't know if you were like me, growing up learning about the food pyramid, maybe
mm-hmm.
in home economics class,
mm-hmm.
and now they've changed that to, it looks more like a plate, so
mm-hmm.
more of a, I guess, illustration that most people can understand.
Right.
And so it's called My Plate, and you can look it up online, myplate.gov,
mm-hmm.
and it represents the 2015 dietary recommendations, dietary guidelines. And so it kind of illustrates what a healthy, well-balanced plate looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Half should consist of fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, very important. Big percentage.
Right.
And then
that's
maybe
proportional. So
yeah.
That doesn't mean you can eat a hamburger and fries every day and then some blueberries on top. You know, or blueberries on the side. That
mm-hmm.
means that, you know, really half the foods, roughly half the foods you should eat, plant-based. Fruits and vegetables. Large, significant portion of whole grains, half the grains that should be whole grains.
Okay.
So, for a lot of health reasons.
Sure. Well, there's that connection. I think the other program that we work on, of course, is aquaculture, and fish is considered a source of healthy protein, low fat.
Yep.
And so that's another aspect of
the
relationship.
Omega 3 fatty acids, good for our hearts and arteries.
Mm-hmm.
About to prevent cardiovascular diseases. So.
Right. And then there's another tie-in in that if we're going to have access to more fresh fruits and vegetables, it tends to be small producers here and locally, and we have programs that within our business development group to try to promote the idea of farm markets or taking produce to farmers markets,
mm-hmm.
cooperative development, many ways to try to extend the availability of fruits and vegetables to the consumers that are seeking these out. And so there's just a lot of tie-ins from the consumption side of things that Dan represents and people's interest in trying to improve their diet and therefore their overall health through these methods. And so we think that integrating Dan's program along with these other things at South Center's is an excellent addition to what we have going on over there. And, Dan, I want to take that just one step further and talk about, you know, something that I'm just getting used to and we're just getting it set up, but we're going to be able to actually measure some of the very critical components. You've mentioned omega-3s, but there are also flavonoids, anthocyanins. I use all these words interchangeable. They're the important aspects. They're the components, the chemicals, the proteins in these foods that make them so-called healthy. We're getting ready to be able to analyze those and measure those. And maybe you can address that a little bit of how we might be able to even extend that to consumer knowledge and help them understand better about.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if you go to OSU Extension website, as a local, type in local food, there are a series of cards that we worked with the Food Innovation Center and the Department of Food Science through CAFRI Institute to develop. And so it helps consumers understand how to maximize the nutritional value of the produce that they might get from a farmer's market product. So when they go to the grocery store and they buy their fruits and vegetables, what are some really simple things that we can do to retain these vitamins and minerals? So and sometimes we lose them when we prepare them or store them.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, generally, most vitamins and minerals, not all, tend to decline. So there are some things that we can do.
Do you have recommendations about that kind of storage? So should we buy 2 weeks' supply and, you know, anything that practical?
Actually, 2 to 3 days is you try to consume your produce within that time frame. But if not, you know, you can freeze and retain a lot of vitamins and minerals. Canning, actually, there's ways to can foods that that will retain. In fact, canned tomatoes, the lycopene is more bioavailable in canned tomato products than actually in fresh. So there are some ways that we can preserve fruits and vegetables to retain some of those phytonutrients that you talked about that are so health-promoting. So, for example, sometimes it's how you prepare food, too. So consuming a little bit of oil with your tomato sauce can help the lycopene, which is another phytonutrient, be more available. And lycopene is one of those nutrients found in tomatoes that's also thought to prevent certain types of cancers. So, you know, if you're getting into those, I'm in middle age, my hair is starting to turn gray, and with diabetes, I get very concerned about heart disease, certain types of disease. So I know that I'm paying more attention.
Sure.
And, of course, you know, when we play basketball, we need to know how to dribble before we scrimmage. So probably the priority is just to eat enough food and vegetables. But there are some things that we can do. Go to the farmers, like, to take home our produce. There's some simple things that we can do to have those nutrients, the vitamins more available, easier to digest.
So you're touching on an aspect that I think we're all struggling with, that a lot of this is relatively new information.
Yes.
And if it's not new, it's not been well publicized or well understood. And, of course, people's dietary habits don't change on a dime just because they read an article. We have a lot of culture and habit built into what tastes good and what we're used to. It depends on the situation in which we're introduced to food was very young, and some of those are very difficult to overcome if they have some negative to them. So it does take time, but it doesn't help that there are so much complexity in these interactions that you begin to talk about. Well, too much fat is not good, but yet, oh, by the way, you should have some fat, you see. So everybody
culture
has to kind of struggle with the balance.
Well, you mentioned culture. It's true. You know, many cultures in the world, consume foods you would probably find disgusting, like insects. Insects have a lot of protein, probably fiber.
Uh-huh.
But I know the thought of consuming insects is very, very appealing. So, like some cultures, that's the norm.
Sure.
And there might be a day where we're consuming more foods.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, you're right. Culture makes a big difference. For the families that we grow up in, it takes six exposures to a food for us to accept it sometimes. If you grew up in a family that doesn't eat vegetables, you're probably not going to like vegetables because you haven't really tried.
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned, too, what's available in our communities and then the access issues is important to think about. We just did a project in Butler County, finishing up a project, and was working with a low-income community embedded in a wealthier suburban, but the low-income community didn't have any sidewalks, didn't have public transportation, so it was difficult for people that didn't have automobiles to get to the store. And so that influenced what they would buy. And one person said when she didn't have a van or a car, she did not buy fresh produce. Because it went so quick, in her family, she bought foods that would last. You're right. There's many things that influence our food choices, even beyond our culture. That's important. And I think it's important for people to be aware of some of those issues, too. Because if you live in a community, a small community that doesn't carry products that you need or want, then you should ask store manager, whether it's even a small store, to carry some of those products. It doesn't hurt to ask.
Right.
So, so those are good points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of throw a term out at you, and I know this is not news to you, but they're so-called superfoods. What makes a superfood? What some of them might be?
Well, like you mentioned, many of the things we grow at South Centers are considered superfoods. So these are what we call nutrient-dense foods. These are foods that are relatively low-calorie and low in fat, sodium, sugar. Fruits do have natural sugar, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's, think about almost a cup and a half of berries. That's about 15 grams, 15 to 20. That's pretty low-calorie.
Less than a teaspoon, I would
yes.
think it.
And they also have a lot of health-promoting vitamins and minerals. And, you know, you think of, like, vitamins minerals like A, B, E, and K, and B vitamins and that type of thing. There's a whole class of vitamins that we don't even know about
mm-hmm.
that we have discovered. We're just beginning to learn more about what you mentioned, the phytonutrients.
Mm-hmm.
These are plant chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these chemicals have, these phytonutrients have, are antioxidants. So we know that antioxidants do play a role in cardiovascular disease, plaque buildup in
mm-hmm.
our heart arteries.
Okay. Okay.
And we know that phytonutrients can even help our neurological system. So there's a growing body of research that suggests that consuming berries, for example, like blueberries,
mm-hmm.
can prevent problems like Alzheimer's. So a lot of interest in growing interest in these superfoods, berries, blackberries, blueberries, all the berries, grapes, and almost all fruits and vegetables, really.
Mm-hmm.
But those fruits and vegetables, especially that have these really dark pigments.
Yeah, that's
are,
what
are
I was getting
be,
at. The
I
darker,
be,
the better. That
yeah.
seems to be a reasonable rule.
Every fruit and vegetable has vitamins and minerals, but some of these certain fruits and vegetables have properties that we probably need to consume more of these. And berries are pretty expensive, relatively fresh, frozen. So it's challenging for people to see. I love to talk about berries. We grow berries at South Center.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And we need to eat a lot more, but they are expensive. And if you're a food insecure and you use a food pantry, you're probably not going to eat fresh berries. So frozen. A little bit more affordable, probably,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
not probably as desired, maybe, or it is,
right.
You have to be a little bit more creative in terms of how you prepare and use them and that type of thing.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, you've hit on, touched on your experience with type 1 diabetes,
mm-hmm.
I think, and then when you mentioned cardiovascular health, we're visiting here. I'm a guy that went through triple bypass for that very issue
uh-huh.
about 7 or 8 years ago, and so this connection that you're addressing between our nutrition, our diet, and then how our body is nourished and our overall health is just a very, very fascinating thing, and lots of different ways to go about that. But one specific thing here in Southern Ohio tends to stand out is really the type 2 diabetes, the
yep.
adult onset,
mm-hmm.
and which tends to be much more related to these food habits and food ways.
Right.
As a marketer would talk about it, we talk about food ways
mm-hmm.
that people, and that embodies all the aspects that you and I were just discussing,
right.
the culture and our family
mm-hmm.
and income and all those matters that kind of result in what we put before us or what we're willing to consume. Do you want to talk a little bit about diabetes and then the extension efforts to try to address that through education?
Sure. We have one program called Dining with Diabetes, and I would describe it as a cooking school, although really it's an educational program it's a face-to-face traditional educational
mm-hmm.
program. It's actually a partnership between Extension and then healthcare providers. So the county Extension educator, family consumer science educator, will work with a registered dietitian to teach this class. And
right.
so it's kind of a neat class because the dietitian will talk about, will give a presentation on diabetes education,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll do a food demonstration. The extension educator will do a healthy food demonstration, and then
they're going to cook some food.
They will.
Right?
They'll cook something. They'll make something, a side dish or a main dish or
mm-hmm.
a salad, and then there's taste testing. Those are very popular.
Yeah.
And so we focus on ways that you can manage diabetes by cutting back on the sugar and carbohydrate in a lot of your foods and choosing healthy caps, and then also reducing sodium too.
Okay.
So there's kind of three areas that we work on. It just depends on your county though, but you can call your county extension office and see if this if this program is offered in your county. Alternatively, we do have an online class that is free, and you can take advantage of it. If you Google, if you get on the, if you have internet access, and you can Google "Dining with Diabetes Beyond the Kitchen," you should see a class pop up, and it's hosted by our national extension website called the Extension, the Extension Campus, and you can register for this class for free. And it's an opportunity to learn about diabetes and learn how to manage diabetes when you're learn how to make healthy choices when you're grocery shopping or you're eating out. And there are presentations, there are virtual shopping tours we have. We have discussion forums where you can pose a question to other students. You can interact with other extension educators in Ohio, but also even potentially around the nation. And also there's quizzes. So you can, you know, once you complete the chapters, you take the quiz and see how, you know, what you've learned. So, and it focuses on carbohydrates, fats, and then sodium too. So it's the three topics that the traditional face-to-face class offers. And we do have a $100 prize drawing every quarter too. If you complete all the classes and do all the evaluations. So, and we've just sort of revamped it, and so hopefully it's new and improved. And we've had this for about 3 years now, but we just gave it a little bit of a facelift. So it's easier to register for, and it's easier to complete. So it's probably the best chance you're going to get to win $100. So don't buy your don't go to the convenience store and buy the lottery tickets. Okay, so
do this instead.
Do this instead. Your odds
I'm sure the odds are a lot higher.
$100 gift card, you know. So. Yeah, it's a good class to take advantage of. And you don't have to have diabetes. You could be a caregiver. But it's generally good health information for everybody. So it does.
Well, you're hitting another piece of it. You just mentioned my wife diagnosed with type 2 diabetes about a year ago, and it's been an educational process for me as well, and something that I might need to look into and take advantage of. But the medical people, of course, are great educators, and they have education specialists as part of their group that provide this as well. But this is very important, I think, and a disease that's very prevalent across this part of Ohio and the state in general. I think it's not limited to one.
Yes, and it definitely can if you don't manage it, and it definitely will impact your quality of life. And, you know, you don't want to be on dialysis and have heart disease and live with the complications.
Right.
You want to prevent those from occurring.
Right.
And you do this by managing diabetes, managing your blood sugars.
Well, not to stay on this topic and share a personal experience, but that was eye-opening to me that the way my wife discovered it was through having a heart attack. And they said this heart attack could have been spawned by the onset of this diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Those two are not unrelated. And
absolutely.
And I had never been exposed to that idea. And then they went on to say that diabetes, since it's got your body, that all organs can be impaired over time by the effects of diabetes. So, again, I think you are gaining an appreciation for the importance of what Dan's programs are all about and how they are very comprehensive and integrated with so many other aspects of what we're trying to do in terms of producing more healthful food, make it more available, make it more affordable, and in the process that provides opportunities for agricultural producers here in Southern Ohio and across our nation. I think we're not alone in this interest in local foods, and Dan and I were chatting earlier just a little bit about even younger people on college campuses, including our campus in Columbus, desiring a greater percentage of local foods in their cafeteria offerings.
I think there's a lot of younger people are maybe more concerned about some of the social implications of the foods that we eat, and maybe then my generation or your generation.
Right.
I think there's a real interest, especially real interest in sourcing our food from producers that use fair trade, for example, that offer a living wage to
workers.
And you mentioned the local, that younger people are very concerned about sustainability and very
environmental aspects here.
The organic, side of things. And, so yeah, it's. I think there are some challenges. I think if you're working with if you're a food service director working with a university, and I know even at Ohio State there's been demand for these types of things too. That's something that you would be probably dealing with in terms of maybe the needs of your students and consumers who are the consumers.
Right. Well, Dan, I think we're just kind of winding down the last couple of minutes here, but. Is there a program or anything that you would like to get the word out about that is upcoming? I know you mentioned the web-based training that you talked about. I don't know if there's another event coming up that you want to mention, or even the past food summits that we had up on the campus.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. It's Ohio State University is trying to engage with alumni around the issue of food insecurity, which affects about 16 to 20% of Ohio. And so if you're an alumni, Ohio State is very much interested in working with you if you have an interest in food insecurity.
Sure.
And so you might want to contact your local extension office or contact alumni affairs. And just mention that you were very much interested in working on this issue.
Well, that day I got to attend that, and that certainly illuminated this whole waterfront of interrelatedness around these issues that Dan and I have been discussing, access and health and food security, just access to food. So, Dan, I appreciate your time
this
afternoon. I did want to get one little promotion in here that we have a field night coming up on July 28th, get my month right, for Soil and Water. And we have some interesting things going on in terms of soil health. And this is related. I think Dan and I, again, talked about this, the relationship of the healthy state of the soil relative to human health that are related through the foods that are produced and consumed. So I think that this I want to make known. Starts about 5 p.m. over at Tyken. I think the other thing we wanted to mention, we have a new production system that we just installed last week. And that this is quite fascinating. I think it's rather futuristic, but we're going to be highlighting that. It's technology developed over in Japan, and I think it's very highly precision agriculture at its very utmost, and it's more or less like putting plants on health support and providing just-in-time delivery of all the nutrients and water. So July 28th in the evening over at Piketon, Ohio. There's more information on our website, or give us a call. We can get you tuned in for that. But once again, thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
And I think we need to wrap up here this afternoon with our South Center's chat, and we'll look forward to the next time we get together.